Morning, everyone. Welcome to the regular board of, regular meeting security committee, January 12th at 10 a.m. We'll call it to order because of the COVID restrictions in place. We're going to use the Zoom following the governmental code so that we can continue to have this meeting. Amelia, do you have any hands or any questions?
I do not.
Okay. Then let's move right into the security monthly updates, please.
Sure. Good morning. We'll start with our operational updates. Currently, we have 8 full-time gate officers and 1 part-time gate officer, and we have 3 patrol officers. We have vacant 1 part-time gate officer position and 3 patrol officer positions vacant. I was informed yesterday by the general manager that there's now a hard hiring freeze in place. We're utilizing still 1 ABA contract security officer for gate relief. Patrol officers not covered shifts from in the year 2000 was 611 hours. I now understand going forward, the direction of the board is to report what shifts we have covered and to differ from how we've been reporting for the non-covered hours. And I'll start that with our next, since we're in December, we're technically talking about January. So next meeting, I'll have that new format of how we want to report our shifts that were covered and no longer report on non-covered shift hours. And that'll start next month. Safety center repairs. We have made a little bit of progress with that. We have
talk about it. It's an item on the agenda.
Oh, I see. Okay. We'll get to that in a little bit. Our Toyota truck in progress. Once again, there's a supply chain issue. We are still waiting for the dealership to receive the truck in. And once they do, they promise that they will give us a call and we'll be able to go forward with that. New Year's Eve storm procedures. Again, there's been a lot of talk about New Year's. I talked to our gate officer who's been here 30 years. He said a gate's never gone uncovered. 97, it came close. This Saturday, the New Year's Eve, was the first time I think we made the decision. I started making the phone calls. We had to let it go unmanned because our people couldn't get to work. And the few people that were here had already worked 12-hour shifts and they needed to get home because they were panicking because of the roads. But luckily, our sergeant outram got in his four-wheel drive, gave up his New Year's Eve evening festivities, came in, damaged his vehicle, then assured that all of our staff were in place and we were able to man the gate. Our local gate officers came to the rescue. They didn't have to answer their phone calls on New Year's Eve. They did. They knew we were in trouble. And specifically, Karen saved the day and came in so we didn't have to let the gate go unmanned. So I wanted to highlight that. And our patrol officers, they were stuck here. So they still stayed here and provided an escort support for operations with our lights to help them do their escorting. So yes, security did do their good part with the storm on New Year's Eve. Moving on to training of our employee, this board has directed me to provide de-escalation training to all of our security staff with the gates and our patrol. And we are 99% done. I think there's just one person needing to finish that. And this gives them de-escalation techniques when they're at the gate dealing with customers, power words to de-escalate any situation, kind of a basic 101 to de-escalation of hostile events. We also had our patrol officers take an additional de-escalation course in regards to use of force. And that way they can use verbal commands and verbal dialogue so they don't have to use any of their use of force options such as OC, the baton, front kicks, grip locks, firearms. It gives them something else in their toolbox. And like I said, we've completed about 99% of the training. Moving on to Rancho Marietta Association issues. We'll get to the compliance a little bit. Before we get to the compliance violation summary report, the tickets are down, and this is mostly due to our staffing shortage and the weather. So now that we're into the next year and the weather gets a little better, hopefully we'll see more citations in regards to speeding. That's still the biggest complaint is speeding and stop sign violations. We did get some assistance from the RMA, our compliance officers, during the time that since we're so short on staff, especially sometimes in the middle of the night. during New Year's Eve and on the big store nights. I understand the compliance officers came in the middle of the night. We gave them our radios to assist us if there's any calls that were generated to our dispatch. We went directly with compliance for days that we didn't have patrol. That helped out a lot. And that's a perfect example of us working with RMA. So I wanted to highlight that. The other issues, I did speak with the vice president of the Rancho Murrieta Association, their board, and they are entertaining our request to have a camera mounted in our vehicles that can capture the stop sign violations. And that way, when it goes to our, because we're writing quite a bit, mail's crazy when it comes to the writing citations, and they're starting to challenge them more, and it's just a better way to say, hey, it's on video, well, what can you say? Here's the limit line, you're on video. It kind of takes away any kind of he said, she said, and I understand that they are entertaining our request, but it's not cheap. So but I understand they are giving a serious consideration, so that's good news with that.
So Kelly, if I could I've had some dialogue with the RMA director as well. To me, I think it's a couple of fold. I think primarily the camera would be used for RMA functions, but I see it as a safety issue, if you will, as we're limited in our staffing moving forward, that this might be a way for us to document that, hey, we did meet all of our requirements, all the points that security is to identify and those types of things. So really what it's coming down to is just what percentage of the funding is CSD or RMA combined to purchase the device. I think the answer is yes. I've just got to figure it out and then take it to the board for support. But I see it as kind of a safety issue for our staff, a way of documenting, and then a way of fulfilling what we need to do for RMA. So hopefully in the next, well, hopefully by the board meeting, I'll be able to have a coherent, thought process to share with the board so we can move forward with it. Thank you.
Understood. And as we move to the next screen.
Ready? Here we go.
We spoke a little bit about our citations being down, but like once again, I think due to the weather, staffing shortages, people on vacation.
I should have compared this to last year now that we have a whole year.
Yeah. There's no questions, we can move on. And you can see the visitations are a little bit up, but that makes sense. It was December, Christmas, holidays in the year, so nothing surprising here. Again, the number one issue of people trying, gate officer denying entry is due to the vendors trying to sneak in a little bit early to start their work. And you can see it's down a little bit. So I think they're kind of getting the message, hey, we're not gonna let you in at 5:45 in the morning. So yeah, pretty common. We get to a couple of notes here. 12/15, 2022, at approximately 19:50 hours, CST patrol was dispatched to the Murrieta Village to investigate a mailbox theft. Our CST officer was advised the suspect entered the village with an unknown tool, forced open several mailboxes and removed several items, and fled with an accomplice in an unknown vehicle. The suspect was captured on the village's video camera, and the incident was reported to the U.S. Postal Service and to the Sheriff's Department. The suspect described as a white male with glasses, and his picture was placed on our website, in the pipeline, and Facebook, and in the newspaper. And so far, we haven't heard any further if anybody was able to identify this suspect. Moving on Friday, 12/30/2022, about 7:30 hours, CST observed part of the Cordova Way storage fence falling forward to the road. It appeared that someone cut the straps in the 30-foot section of fence, which made the top of the fence lean to the road. Murrieta South Storage Manager was not able to pull any video surveillance to identify any suspects. Due to the recent burglars of storage area, extra patrol was requested and shall be granted as possible. And I put this in here because this facility has been hit at least three times last month. They had an RV stolen, where they stole the RV. True, it's been recovered, but they rammed the gate. The day, a couple of days before that, they had, again, cut the fence open and nothing was taken. So this area is repeatedly hit. So that's why we're putting this into the log, into our notes, and we are doing the best we can with our extra patrol. And if we move on. If there's no questions.
Yeah, moving on is just the daily, which I have posted on the website, the daily.
So for if
the
there's no other questions, that's what I have.
I just put it on for the whole month count.
And if there's no more questions, I'm done.
I don't have any hands raised there, unless Director maybe has something to add.
Short sweet.
No, I'm good right now.
So
I think we're at the yes, and I think it falls to you, Amelia.
I can talk about it, or Kelly can.
Do you want to start?
Sure, yeah, I'll start. I'm sure that everybody will want to add to it. Hallelujah. It's been a process, but we finally come across a company, an organization that works just with cities, municipalities, school districts, and is a governmental bidding agency. So all of what they have is already gone through the three bid process, the vetting, and they come out, looked at our facility and what needs to be done with everything that we need to have done, which I have listed here. The total is $77,581. I added a 15% contingency to it because there is probably going to be mold. We don't know what. Behind the walls, they're going to take off all the siding. This quote does include the siding, the gutters, all brand new dual pane, low-E glass windows. And it includes the 2x4s that are behind the siding, but we don't, and insulation too, but we don't know if there's going to be any other damages once we pull the siding off. So the building will be insulated, airtight. It won't leak anymore.
And once, if the board approves this, it will still take, I think you said, 8 to 12 weeks just to order parts before they can begin work. So you're talking maybe by the summer, May, June, for this project to be completed.
Right.
Depending on what they find, what mold issue was.
So this was an original CIP project, which was budgeted for $68,000. The proposal is $77,581. Again, I've added 15% contingency, taking us up to $89,218. So Paula says we'll need a resolution to appropriate funds in the next board meeting, but with your permission, sir, we would like to move this to the board for approval.
Yes, I would like that, Amelia. Thank you for you and Kelly for tracking this down. The disappointing thing is that the district allowed this to get into this state of disrepair. I don't understand it. We don't own the facilities, the taxpayers do, and we have an obligation to maintain equipment as such. So I'm a little lost how we got here. We're here. We're going to address it. So with that said, if we can get it to the board agenda, that would be great, please.
Yes, sir.
That takes care of five, going to six. I have a couple of items. Kelly, I sent you a CC on an email about an incident either on the 16th or the 12th of December. A resident sent it to me. I'm not familiar with it, and it's not in your incidents of notes. So there we go. If you could just follow up. I'm sorry.
I have it, and I am prepared. Is this the one from John Sullivan?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I can address it now if you wish.
No, just CC me on when you update him, and that would be perfect. I don't want to take up your time. The other thing, Kelly, is, and you talked about it, I was hoping it was going to be several months off, but it's probably closer than not. The ad hoc committee had conversation with the GM, and I think we're going to have to start working on a formalized procedure when we do have a gate or gates that are unstaffed due to staffing levels. I think we need to codify what that procedure is, who's notified, what do the phone recorders look like, and who we notify and when we notify. An example being RMA up the chain of command at CSD, those types of things. You brought up a point, and we've talked about it before, and I don't know where we're at, but I think moving forward, the use of our communication system with RMA, I think that might have to be formalized even more. You mentioned, I think it was New Year's Eve, that RMA came and got the radios. I think it might be a point in time where we issue one of our portable radios, or at least they have access if we lock the gates, to gain access for communications. So it's just kind of one of those procedural things I think we have to start looking at sooner than later, from my standpoint, if that makes sense.
Sure, sure. And a couple things. I'm sorry, were you finished? Do you want me to respond?
Yes, yes.
Okay. With that, that's very easy to do. We have an extra radio. We can even do that right away. That's an easy fix. And it does benefit both parties because we're short staff. As far as going back to the gates, I think your gates are as filled as almost 100% with our contractor, and they're happy and they're here. And like we saw in New Year's, they're happy to be here. And we haven't had very much turnover with our gate officers. I think that you're in good shape with them. Our patrol, though, is on life support. And of the three officers I have, two are in backgrounds to go someplace else. So we very soon could be an Andy and Marnie type of department here. So I think that's where the issue is. I think your gates are solid and secure, as long as you keep that our contract officer. It's the patrol that you're already down to three out of the six positions that we have. And I think that's where the creativity or the resources I have to do is that's where it's going to hurt, at least as of now.
And Kelly, and I appreciate that. And I think two things. One, on the personal side, my work has just been taking me out of town. So I haven't been able to sit down and meet with you as I've done in the past to have some of these conversations and get your thoughts. But I think the other reality, and I understand exactly what you're saying, and I appreciate that, especially from a supervisor and an operational standpoint. But the economic realities are hitting the district twofold. One, with the Prop 218 that increase did not pass, and Measure R didn't pass. And I think that we very shortly, just now that you've updated that two are in background, yeah, we could be down to just a couple of people assigned to patrol. Mm-hmm. And that's all we can offer. And the gate is staffed, and that's what we can offer, because the other component here is the reality of the budget and the non-use of property tax to augment security services because of how Measure J is written. So I, on a personal level, emotionally understand everything you just said. I respect everything you just told us. I am not a ray of sunshine when it comes to this fiscal position the district's in, but I understand what you just said. So thank you for that.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Amelia, do you have anything from the public?
No, sir.
Okay. Then I'm going to move to adjourn the meeting, and then I'll be over to sign whatever document you asked me for probably in the next 15, 20 minutes.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Everyone have a great day. Thank you.